This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. I've always wanted a celebrity on my show, so I'm going to let Ellen DeGeneres introduce today's featured food.
Last week I mentioned something that always happens this time of year. Pumpkin spice is popping up everywhere. I don't know why, but there's pumpkin spice lattes, pumpkin spice candles, pumpkin spice air fresheners, and now they have taken it so far. This is ridiculous. This is a commercial. It's a brand new network called the Pumpkin Spice Channel.
You're watching the Pumpkin Spice Channel.
Of course, there isn't a Pumpkin Spice Channel, but how Ellen imagines it, it could very well come to fruition someday. Ellen is right, pumpkin spice is everywhere. Personally, I have avoided all things pumpkin spice until now. But in order to branch out into the world, and I didn't branch out very far, I thought I'd start with the origins of pumpkin spice. Pumpkin pie. I met up with the pie maker at Slow Provisions. When I arrived, Shannon Siegel was stirring a pot on the stove. She was concentrating the pumpkin puree along with brown sugar. It takes about 35 minutes and makes her pumpkin pie unique. The cooking of the puree gives it a silkier texture. I arrived right at the most apropos moment. In her industrial kitchen with its refrigerators, freezers, fans, timers, and all the sounds of a successful enterprise.
So I put in the ginger, cinnamon, cloves, and the salt, and now I'm gonna put in fresh nutmeg. And next we're going to whisk in the sweetened condensed milk and the evaporated milk. So the heat of the pumpkin is kind of mixing in well with the creams. And then I'm gonna switch to whisk in just a second to make sure it's all combined.
So that's the consistency that you want, but you've already cooked it, and I find that really intriguing. Two things I find intriguing. One, you've already cooked it.
I've only cooked the pumpkin.
Two, I don't see any eggs.
They're coming up.
Oh, they're coming up, they're coming up. Oh, there they are. I took a picture of them.
Oh. I am awake, you got me on my game. Okay, so next we're gonna go ahead and whisk 3 eggs and 1 egg yolk until it's blended. So first I'm gonna start whisking these just by themselves because I want to break them up and get them really fully incorporated.
Explain to me the extra yolk.
It's gonna give it more richness.
And what did you do with the extra white?
Oh, we save it for making macaroons, coconut macaroons. Okay, so we have beaten our egg yolk and our eggs, and we're gonna go ahead and add our heavy cream and vanilla.
Oh, so there's three types of dairy fat. There's heavy cream, mm-hmm. evaporated milk, and sweetened condensed milk.
Yes.
The more dairy fat, the better. I mean,
it's the holidays.
Yeah.
And then next we're going to gradually add the pumpkin mixture to the egg yolks and the cream.
I see you've taken down the pie shell off its shelf, and it's a homemade pie shell. Anything special about the pie shell?
Well, it's very good. It's just basically flour, salt, and ice water, and butter. Yeah, lots of butter. This morning I went ahead and pre-baked it, so you always want to pre-bake your shell with some dried beans, that way it doesn't pop up. And then we're gonna add our pumpkin pie mixture to the shell and bake it off. It's gonna take about 40 to 50 minutes, maybe longer. So what I'm gonna be looking for is that the edges of the custard, they start to puff up. And when I jiggle it, when I move the shell, it jiggles a little bit in the center, but only a little bit. I don't want to give you a time like, oh, it's definitely going to be done in 55 minutes, because it's a visual thing.
Then we got into the spices. Remember, the spices are
ginger, cinnamon, cloves, and the salt, and now I'm going to put in fresh nutmeg.
I noticed that you used ground cinnamon, ground ginger, ground cloves, but you used freshly grated nutmeg. Would you ever use freshly grated cinnamon or freshly ground cloves? And that was an interesting thing you said about the cinnamon. The cinnamon we have in the store doesn't have any flavor.
Well, I don't think it does. That's my opinion.
You're talking about the
sticks. The sticks. It's just a quality thing. If you're getting a good quality one, which I have never found a good quality one at any store, but online, you know, there's so much more options. They've got some great spice stores online. I would start there if you want to ground your own cinnamon.
And what about fresh ginger in a pumpkin pie? What would that be like?
You know, ginger is very wet. I think it'd be a different texture. You know, I would probably grate it with a microplane like I just did here for the nutmeg, and it'll give you a different consistency. And I would worry about too much water getting into the pie and making it soggy. So I personally wouldn't do that.
So
you have such a small amount of cloves in the recipe, but cloves are very strong.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility too. If people say, oh, I don't like pumpkin pie, maybe somebody got a little heavy-handed with the cloves, because a little bit goes a long way. And when they say a pinch, it's literally a pinch.
Would you ever use ground nutmeg?
Nutmeg is just so good freshly ground, and when it sits, it loses flavor. And that's why they say you want to switch out your spices every 6 months, because the flavor just goes away.
I just use more.
Well, that's your call.
Here's the thing. 20, 25, 30 years ago, we had more consistent cuisine in our regular diet. So you would go through that spice set probably more frequently, possibly within 6 months. Now, people my age and younger are making a dish from a different part of the world 3 nights a week. My spice cupboard literally is the size of what a dish cupboard would have been in the 1970s. And it is full of spices from the bottom to the top, side to side. And when I moved from Britain and went to my pantry and saw all my spices, I was like, that's about $150, $200 replacement value. So I packed them in a box and put it in my suitcase and brought them with me. And some of them I'm still using. I don't want to lead anybody astray to say fresh is not best. But what would you recommend for those of us who have cloves that are probably a decade old?
I would taste everything.
Okay.
Taste your food while you're cooking it. Taste something before you put it in the dish. Taste it, make sure it's good. If it's not, then throw it away. If it's good, use it.
Do you replace all your spices every 6 months?
Not every 6 months, but I go through more spices than others. I'll use more cumin than dill, for example. A couple times a year, I'm gonna do a check and make sure everything's good. I also try to buy things in smaller amounts. I don't wanna buy too much for spices. And that's one thing that I used to do before the pandemic, is I would get all my fresh spices, like those kind of places where you can just buy a little bit. You can buy an ounce. And I'd love to do that, but now I'm worried that's going away.
What are the spices again that are in there?
Okay, so we've got ginger, cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves.
And what does the vanilla contribute?
I would just say it balances out the flavor. Vanilla is one of those kind of hidden things where you don't need a lot of it, but it brings everything together. Vanilla is just kind of one of those secret things that you add just a little bit of and nobody really knows what it is, but it's there. It completes it.
I'm realizing that this same combination of spices is used in the places where these spices come from. If you go deep into Latin American cuisine, and if you go into Indian cuisine, and if you go into African cuisine, you find this combination of spices with other spices added on there as well, and some cayenne in there to give it some kick. And what triggered me to think about that is what you said about the warmth. And I was going to ask you, where else do we use this spice combination? But we do if we get into that Tropical Cancer line of cuisine.
That conversation about the spices got me thinking about the origins of pumpkin pie spice. These spices are not indigenous to North America. So is this a relatively new fad? It turns out that it's not. Add allspice to the mix, and holiday history is born.
As far back as 1796, the American cookbook by Amelia Simmons, American Cookery, included recipes for pumpkin puddings baked in a crust and similar to present-day pumpkin pies. The spice mix included mace, nutmeg, and ginger. The term pumpkin pie spice has been around since the 1890s, and who knows when the spice companies started making the commercially available mix. A common mix includes 18 parts ground cinnamon, 4 parts ground nutmeg, 4 parts ground ginger, 3 parts ground cloves, and 3 parts ground allspice. The pumpkin spice latte has been around since 2003, and thanks to Marketplace, we know that through 2018, the well-known company has sold more than 424 million pumpkin spice lattes since its 2003 introduction, grossing over $1.4 billion worldwide.
Humans associate food with experiences, and for 130 years, pumpkin spice has meant a lot.
What are the spices again that are in there?
Okay, so we've got ginger, cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves.
So the spices are the important thing. Here we are at the original pumpkin spice, which is where it comes from, pumpkin pie, right? These ingredients that you have, cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, and cloves, are they the traditional pumpkin spice?
For me, they are.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think they speak to a lot of people. I think that when people say they don't like pumpkin pie, they do love the pumpkin spice. You can see the lattes, you see all the drinks and stuff like that.
So do you think this spice combination says to us then it's the holidays? And so the earlier I can have my pumpkin spice latte, the earlier the holidays are coming.
That's what it means for me. I think otherwise it wouldn't sell. Spice, I like it just fine, but I don't usually have it until it's the holidays. It's taking me back in time, back to the holidays.
Basically, we don't have them until the pickup the day before Thanksgiving when everything is ready and they can choose different pies, and that's one of the pies. And then we'll usually offer them again at Christmas. They have never been part of our rotation. We do a different pie every Friday. And we've never had this one as part of the rotation. It only comes for the holiday menus. There are those spices and those aromas and those flavors that we associate with happy times or holiday times. But the pumpkin spice has a warmth to it, I think. It's probably something, yeah. It's like a little hug.
It's like a little hug. Oh. Later that day, I picked up a slice of the pumpkin pie and brought it home for a snack. It was delicious. I had never had a pumpkin pie that thick. It was about an inch or an inch and a quarter high. It was a velvety texture, yet the sort of firmness that you want in pumpkin pie. The crust was not only flaky, it was crisp, even at the bottom. Perfectly baked. And the spices? Well, that's what this was all about, right? I don't want these spices in my coffee, my Irish liqueur, or my candles. I want pumpkin pie spices in pumpkin pie. But there might be one food that is pumpkin spiced that I might actually like as much as pumpkin pie. And here is where pumpkin spice is unique to the Central Coast.
My name is Alexis Negranti, and I am the founder and owner of Negranti Creamery, and we produce 100% sheep's milk ice cream. This November marks our 10-year anniversary of having the creamery. Sheep's milk is naturally very sweet and very nutty, so it makes a really, really beautiful ice cream on its own without having to add anything else into it.
I told you that it was unique. It's the only sheep's milk ice cream in the country. I got a tour of the ice cream making process and the lowdown on the seasonal treat.
Can I see how ice cream is made?
Absolutely, yeah, we can go inside.
Okay, great.
Okay, so this is the creamery. So we have here, this is the ice cream machine.
Okay, it's a very small ice cream machine.
Yeah, so we have two, and we are actually purchasing a continuous freezer, which can do 100 gallons an hour. This will do 20, and then we have two of those, so we can do about 40 gallons an hour right now. And they're both running about 5 days a week.
Okay, how many gallons a week do you make?
Anywhere between 600 and 800 finished product gallons. Okay, let me walk you through it. The milk arrives and we put it into this pasteurizer. Okay. And so what's unique about our product is that we make our own base mix. So a lot of people will purchase a base mix, but we don't use any additives or fillers, so we make our own. And all that is in our base mix is sheep's milk and tapioca starch, which is from the cassava root. So it's very natural, and we use that as our thickener instead of using anything artificial. We pasteurize it, and then we let it cool back down, and then that is our base. From there, we take it out, and we will make the ice cream. So we'll blend in the cane sugar, any ingredients. You know, right now she's doing the maple pecan, so we have candied our own pecans in the ovens, and she's adding that in, any flavorings, etc. And then we mix that up and throw it into the machine, pull it out of the machine, and it goes straight into the freezer. What you can see is at negative 20. Yeah. We have another even larger freezer downstairs as well. Whenever we have new recipes, I'm always making those, collaborating with our production team. So the new recipes come from me, but the day-to-day, our production team takes care of.
How many different flavors do you have?
Well, it depends on the season. We have 16 flavors in the case. We have 8 different pint flavors, and then seasonally we're rotating out new flavors all the time. We've made hundreds of different kinds of flavors, and also for weddings in the ice cream trucks, we do custom flavors. So I did a Thai wedding, and they wanted Thai iced tea ice cream, so I made Thai iced tea ice cream. So we can just do it all.
Well, now that we're talking about flavors, let's talk about the flavor of the month.
Okay, this will be really loud. Or we can just go right here. This will be...
So now that we're talking about flavors, let's talk about the flavor of the month. And I see here labels, actually, that says pumpkin spices.
Yeah, so we just launched our Harvest Pumpkin, which our guests look forward to every single year. You know, I'm getting emails in August, like, is it coming out? Is it coming out? And so it is here. We use real pumpkin and our own spice blend, and it tastes so good. It's like pumpkin pie in ice cream form, and it is the perfect fall treat. And actually, we just had some people come order our affogatos, which we use cold brew espresso over our ice cream, and they did the cold brew over the pumpkin, and they said it was the best thing they've ever had.
It's their pumpkin latte kind of deconstructed.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
You use all natural ingredients. I even see pumpkin right there.
Oh yeah, we had to order that much.
Right, okay. In my mind, because I'm not an industrial cooker, I was thinking, oh gosh, they go buy their pumpkins and they... I don't know why I didn't think of that. But you do get canned pumpkin, right?
Yes. Yeah, and it's all natural, pure. Like, that's all that's in it. There's no additives. There's no coloring. It's just pure pumpkin.
Because I was thinking of real pumpkins, I'm like, how does she get consistency with that? Because I have worked with real pumpkins. When I lived in Britain, I couldn't get a can of pumpkin for pumpkin pie until probably 2013. And the only time they had pumpkins in the stores was Halloween. And so all of the Americans would get their pumpkins at Halloween. And then at the beginning of November, we would roast them and puree them and do all this kind of stuff. And then at Thanksgiving, make our pumpkin pies. It was a big ordeal. Oh. Or you could pay... there was an American section at a high-end store called Selfridges where you could get a can of pumpkin for like $10.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and that's what I discovered working with fresh pumpkin. It's very variable. It was like the fifth time I figured out to get the water out was to puree it, put it in the refrigerator in cheesecloth and get liquid out that way, then freeze it for a couple weeks. And then thaw it out again on cheesecloth because the freezing draws out more water. So that's what was going through my mind when you said, we use our own pumpkin. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I hope your guests really appreciated your pumpkin pie.
Well, British people are repulsed by the term pumpkin pie. Oh. And about half of them like it and half of them don't.
Oh my gosh. Well, we love pumpkin pie.
Obviously, you love pumpkin pie because you're doing pumpkin spice ice cream. So what are the spices, or is it a secret blend?
I will tell you a few of them that are in there. We do the classic cinnamon, we do nutmeg, and a little bit of ginger in allspice. And it's a really beautiful blend. We think it's pretty unique. Like I said, our customers love it. We love it. We just started doing shakes and we're using oat milk. So people who are lactose intolerant can have them. And we're doing the Harvest Pumpkin milkshakes. And we even add a little spice on top of that. And it's incredible.
What's the creative process in terms of coming up with the right spice blend and the right amount of pumpkin to put in? Do you end up having to eat a lot of ice cream?
You know, I think because I've been doing it for 10 years, it comes naturally to me. It comes very easily to me. I've messed up a handful of recipes, but for the majority of the time, I can get it within the first couple tries. And I think that just comes with 10 years of doing it. I kind of have an idea of, okay, what's the sugar content? What profile do I want for this flavor? Do I want it to be super sweet? Do I want it to be a little bit less sweet? Are we adding berries that are going to be providing natural sugar? So I'll bring down the cane sugar, et cetera, et cetera. So that's just kind of how it goes. For the pumpkin, I even use a little bit of brown sugar, and that adds another layer of interest and depth to the pumpkin that you would actually find in a pumpkin pie.
Did you use your grandmother's spice mix recipe for her pumpkin pie or something like that? Or did you just...
I wish. That sounds really nice. Nope. I used my, what can I put together and what smells good? What's going to taste good? What do I like? We don't put anything out that I personally don't love. So I love like a little bit of ginger profile in it. And so we added ginger, which is not extremely typical. You know, that's what we did.
So can I try your ice cream?
Absolutely, yes.
So this is, what is this? This is the...
So right there is the spice mix that we use for the Harvest Pumpkin.
Okay, I'm gonna smell it. I'm gonna, well, try to smell it. Smells like pumpkin pie. And so you mix it into the ice cream, but is that for people who want it sprinkled on?
This is for the topping of the milkshake.
Oh, the topping.
So if you want the pumpkin milkshake,
So this is the pumpkin.
That's the harvest pumpkin.
Harvest pumpkin. I'm not the biggest pumpkin spice fan.
Well, that's okay.
Hang on, let me taste it. It is like frozen pumpkin pie.
Yep.
I'm like, oh my gosh, it tastes exactly, and I like pumpkin pie.
Oh, good.
So when I say I'm not the biggest pumpkin spice fan, the pumpkin spice latte from that big major worldwide coffee shop.
That probably doesn't even have pumpkin in it.
Probably doesn't have pumpkin in it. They released that while I was living in Britain. The first year, all the British people were like, Americans are disgusting. Why would you ever do that? Blah, blah, blah. The next year, it went to Britain, and everybody was eating pumpkin, drinking.
Their PSL.
So I come back, and I have a picture, which is going to go on the podcast for this show. I have a picture, like, the day after Thanksgiving at the grocery store in the reduced clear section, because I always go to the clearance section first, and there are about 6 or 8 different products that are pumpkin spice that really shouldn't be pumpkin spiced.
I can only imagine.
You know, there were nuts, there were drinks, there was coffee, pumpkin spice, like the beans, like you could buy.
Oh, yes.
So pumpkin pie, harvest pumpkin ice cream, absolutely excellent.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, some people get a little carried away on the pumpkin spice, but you know what? If they can sell it, good for them.
Yeah, so.
I'll let you try our maple pecan too, which is another seasonal. So that's the maple pecan.
That's really good.
This unique seasonal treat was super delicious, and it's worth noting that it's naturally better for you than regular ice cream.
Sheep's milk is only 8% fat, so our ice cream is only 8% fat, whereas like gelato or traditional ice creams are gonna be higher than that. Some traditional super premium ice creams are up to 16% fat, and they have beautiful textures. There's a market and appreciation for all different kinds of ice creams and gelatos, and they're all amazing. But for us, I didn't want a super high fat content, and that really allows the flavors to shine through, having the lower fat content. Everything just tastes super clean. That's what everyone says. Your ice cream's just so clean, and it tastes like old-fashioned ice cream, and that's because there's not a ton of cream added or anything else. So sheep's milk is 8% fat, and we don't add any extra cream. And the wonderful, magical thing about sheep's milk is that it's naturally homogenized. So the fat molecules are mixed into the milk. It doesn't separate. So it's naturally more creamy than any other milk, even though it has a lower fat content.
I'm not 100% sold on all things pumpkin spice, but this sheep's milk ice cream pumpkin harvest flavor tastes like the real thing, like frozen pumpkin pie. So what will Alexis be doing for the holidays? Will she bake a pie?
How does making ice cream influence your own eating at home, your menus at home? Like when you have a birthday celebration, when your child's birthday or whatever, is it always ice cream? Or, you know, when Thanksgiving comes around, will you have your pumpkin spice ice cream? Or how does that work?
Yes, especially if we're going to an event, if I don't bring ice cream, I'm pretty much not allowed in. So, yes.
Sadly, this Thanksgiving, I won't be able to go to my sister's and have her mother-in-law's pumpkin pie without pumpkin spices. I'll be sheltering at home with my cat, Smokey. I'm not going to buy an entire pumpkin pie just for the two of us, particularly since he won't eat any. But this pumpkin harvest ice cream would be the perfect substitute.
It is like frozen pumpkin pie.
Yep.
I'm like, oh my gosh, it tastes exactly, and I like pumpkin pie.
Oh, good.
Ellen DeGeneres may mock the pumpkin spice craze, as do I. But our beloved spice mix is deeply ingrained in the American cultural fabric and evokes holiday euphoria. Whether in a pie, a latte, ice cream, or believe it or not, almonds, we'll take that euphoria as early in the fall as possible. Its importance is captured perfectly by John Greenleaf Whittier in his 1850 poem, The Pumpkin.
Ah, on Thanks Day, when from east and from west, from north and from south comes the pilgrim and guest, when the grey-haired New Englander sees round his board the old broken links of affection restored, when the care-wearied man seeks his mother once more, and the warm matron smiles where the girl smiled before. What moistens the lip and what brightens the eye? What calls back the past like the rich pumpkin pie?
This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.